Good morning. I'm glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. When you hear the word kindness or think of the word kindness, is there a particular person that comes to mind who epitomizes or is an example of kindness to you? When I hear the word kindness or think about the word kindness, one of the person that comes to my mind is Mr. Rogers. Now, if you're not familiar with who Mr. Rogers is, he is one of my favorite childhood personalities, you could say. He was the host of a show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that show ran from, I believe, 1968. I grew up in the 70s, 1970s. To 2001. So during my childhood, I would always watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. In fact, I actually liked that show better than Sesame Street. But anyway, Mr. Rogers, for me, is the example, or you could say the epitome of kindness. Being kind, showing kind. How about for you? Who is an example, or who comes to mind as someone who exemplifies kindness? Maybe you know them personally. Maybe it's like, for me, Mr. Rogers. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. Why do you think, or why do you associate kindness with that person? Not just who is that person, but why? What about them? How do they show kindness that makes you associate kindness with them? This morning, we are going to be talking about this topic or issue of kindness. And we're going to be addressing three particular areas regarding kindness. First is, what exactly is kindness? What does it mean to be kind? Then we're going to be talking about why be kind. Why is kindness needed or necessary? Why should I be kind? Lastly, we're going to be talking about, now that I understand what kindness is, now that I understand why I should be kind, lastly, how can I be kind? How can I express or show kindness to those around me? Before we continue, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for not just your word, as important as your word is, but the life that flows from your word, from your son, Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we hear your word spoken, Lord, that it would be more than just words that we understand, words that we hear, but words that we take into our hearts, Lord. Not just for our own good, but ultimately for your glory, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, for those of you who have been with us or been listening for a while, we are preaching through a series in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 on the fruit of the Spirit. And we are just about at the halfway point of our message series. And one of the things that I have been emphasizing is that in that, say, list of different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, there's only one fruit of the Spirit, only one, even though there's this long list of different aspects of that one fruit. But at the end of the day, there's only one fruit. And if you are a believer in Christ, you have that one fruit manifested or displayed in various ways. And the way I like to look at it is, it's like a diamond, one diamond. You have one diamond, and yet if you hold that diamond up to the light and you look at it from perhaps different angles, or you move that diamond around, as you move it, as you look at it, you get a slightly, you could say, different perspective, different angle. Maybe the light shines on it or shines through it slightly different than when you looked at it from a different angle or when it was held in a different angle. This, even though there's only one diamond, you're seeing things, you're being exposed to things in a different perspective. That's how I would associate the fruit of the Spirit. One fruit manifested in many ways. So as I said, we're going to be talking about three aspects regarding kindness. And the first aspect that we want to talk about regarding kindness is, what exactly is kindness? What does it mean to be kind? Now, there are actually three sub-points to what is kindness. Or I should say, and as we talk about these sub-points, we're going to actually be looking at it from, you could say, a negative point of view. What isn't kindness, okay? So we're kind of looking at it from the opposite view. Rather than talking about what is kindness, we're talking about what isn't kindness. Because I think in our society, in our culture, we often have a misunderstanding, a misidea, a misconception of what is kindness. The first thing regarding kindness, or what is not kindness, is it is not an end unto itself. Kindness from a scriptural, biblical standpoint is not an end unto itself. Here's what I mean. That we are not called to be kind simply for the sake of kindness. We are not to show kindness simply because that is the kind thing to do. Even though, hey, it is a good thing to be kind. It is a good thing to show kindness to people. But kindness is not the end result, if you will. It is not an end unto itself. You see, the word kindness from a scriptural, biblical standpoint essentially means to be usable. It's a good thing. It's an excellent thing. It's a uprightness thing. But underlying it implies that it is of use or usable. It is, if you will, serviceable. It has a function beyond just being a good thing. In other words, to be kind to someone involves serving them in a way that meets their need. Being kind to someone is not simply about us, you, me, but it is about the other person. It is about meeting their needs, addressing their concerns, if you will. The focus is not on us. We are not trying to get them to think, oh, we're such a kind person. We're such a good-hearted person. But it's about addressing, resolving, if we can, their needs. Helping them. That is the idea behind being kind or kindness. So again, kindness is not an end unto itself. We are not simply being kind just to be kind, but we are being kind in order to address or to serve or meet a need if we can in another person's life. Second thing about kindness is that kindness or being kind is not being weak or having weakness. Let me say that again. Kindness or being kind is not weakness or being weak. Sometimes in our society, in our culture, we often think of someone who is kind has perhaps maybe being a bit wimpy. Kind of like, okay, Mr. Rogers, if you know his mannerism, what he looks like, what he dresses like. he might seem a bit, how should I say, wimpy, you know, kind of like a weak person, someone who's a kind of almost gullible, you know, he's lacking backbone, you know, he's kind, but you don't have a lot of respect, if you will, for him. Sometimes in our society, in our culture, we associate, or it's easy to associate, kindness with weakness. But yet, I would argue that kindness is not weakness or being strength. And if you really think about it, to be kind to someone, to try to address their concerns or their needs, actually requires a lot of strength, much strength, more determination, more resolve than to be unkind to them. See, if you're unkind to someone, you simply don't care, right? You simply don't bother with that person or that situation, right? But if you're truly expressing kindness, if you're truly trying to be kind to that person, it requires you, and oftentimes involves a lot of strength, a lot of determination, a lot of dedication to try to exercise and to demonstrate kindness to a person. I would argue that being unkind to someone is actually a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of deficiency. Being uncaring to a person. It's actually easier in our society, in our culture, to be unkind to someone than it is to be kind. Being kind actually involves more work, more effort, more determination and dedication. It involves a inner strength of character. Lastly, regarding kindness, or you could say, what is not kindness? Kindness or being kindness is not niceness or being nice. We already somewhat addressed this. Again, in our culture, we often assume that, that when someone is nice, someone is being nice, there's a tendency to think of someone who's nice as being kind of blasé, or as long as they don't cause problems or issues or trouble for us, then they're nice. But someone who raises ruckus, causes distraction, isn't nice or isn't kind. So we get the idea that when someone is kind, they're just simply nice. I mean, they're there, they're not causing problems, they're present, but they're not an issue. That's oftentimes our idea of someone who is kind. They smile a lot, they wave hello, they're polite, they're courteous. As long as they don't cause problems, that's what we want. But as we've talked about what kindness is actually going beyond and above, desiring to meet a need or to address a need in a person's life, requiring a lot of inner character and strength, which at times may be misinterpreted, may actually involve doing things or saying things which initially that person may not like, may not want to hear, may not want to happen or see. And yet, if we are truly kind to them, if we are truly trying to be kind, we need to say these things. We need to do these things. Or maybe you could say, not say these things or not do these things. Who in your life can you be kind to? Can you express kindness to? Not as our world or our society or our culture would say this is what kindness is, but as we've talked about from a scriptural standpoint, who can you be kind to? Kindness is not an end unto itself. Kindness is not being weak, but actually being strong. Kindness is not the same as being nice or simply showing niceness to someone. Well, we've talked about what kindness is. Let's address, why should I be kind? Why be kind or give kindness to someone or someone? Well, the answer is because God Himself is kind. Let's look at several verses in the Bible. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn and look at these passages yourself. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says this, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness, referring to God, and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Paul says that God himself is kind. He demonstrates his kindness, his forbearance, his patience, and as a result, his demonstration of kindness, he is hoping will cause us to turn to him, to confess our sins and receive his forgiveness and enter into a right relationship with him. Let's look at another verse, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Titus, I believe, is right after 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. It's a very short book, so you may actually pass by without knowing it. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Titus also says that God himself, again, is the epitome or the example of kindness. This is part of who God is. God is kind, and he shows his kindness through his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us on the cross. It is not based on what we have done or what we haven't done in our lives, but based on God's character, who he is, his kindness. Why be kind? Why give kindness to someone else? Because God himself is kind, and he shows us his kindness through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, when we are kind, or we are trying to be kind to someone else, we do so, or we are called, we are asked to do so, called, you could say, not out of obligation, not out of duty, not because we are required or we have to or we're being forced to be kind to that person. I would say because we understand God's kindness to ourselves, to you, to me, and therefore as a result of recognizing and receiving God's kindness to ourselves, we are attempting to show kindness, to give kindness, to be kind to someone else, because first and foremost, God has been kind to us. Why be kind? Because God is kind to us. Now at this point, some of you may be thinking, or maybe raising a red flag, or you know, there may be a concern that you have as you hear about being kind to someone else. You may worry that your kindness, your demonstration of kindness, you're showing them kindness will be for naught. Or maybe the person will take advantage of your kindness, your goodness to them, your expression of being kind. They'll just simply take it for granted and, you know, walk all over you. It, I hear you. I understand. If that's a concern, that's something that I've considered as well. I do consider. I worry. It's like, why should I be kind to this person? Especially if they're unkind to me. How do I know that they're going to be kind to me? You know, again, they may just take advantage of my kindness to them. They may not appreciate my kindness to them. The truth of the matter is, the bottom line is that we have, you have, I have no guarantee that the person, the other person that we are kind to, will be kind to us in return. We cannot guarantee, I cannot guarantee, that that person will be kind to us. But yet, when God shows his kindness to us, it is not conditional on our being kind to him or to someone else. He gives us his kindness with no strings attached, with no he hopes, he wants us to be kind, but it is not a requirement for him to demonstrate his kindness to us. One of the Bible verses that I've stated numerous times, and you are probably familiar with, is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, that, but God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I suppose you could substitute the word love for kindness. And the verse would say, but God proves his kindness for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Implying or meaning that God shows his love, God gives his son Jesus, demonstrates his love, demonstrates his kindness to us while we still were in rebellion, in disobedience to God. He didn't wait. He didn't make us promise that we would repent, that we would turn back from our sins and turn to him. But while we are still in rebellion towards him, that's when God showed his love, or you could say his kindness to us. Why be kind to someone else? Why give kindness to someone else? Particularly if someone else has hurt us, someone else has harmed us in some way, shape, or form. Why should I be kind to them? Why should I express kindness to them? The answer is because God shows kindness to you and I, even when we are disobedient and disregard and blow off his kindness to him. He is still kind. You and I are called to be kind to someone else because of who God is. Yes, we hope that they will return kindness to us, but we cannot guarantee. That is not the reason why we are kind to them. We are kind to them because of God's kindness to us. Lastly, let's talk about, well, how can I be kind or express kindness? Maybe specifically, this is kind of where you could say the rubber meets the road. Because we've talked about what is kindness. We've talked about why to be kind. But now, how can I express kindness or be kind to someone else? A specific practical way of demonstrating, showing my kindness to them. Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. This is, if we were to show kindness, this is how, what needs to take place, how we can show kindness to other people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Paul gives us listing of different attributes and qualities that we, as God's chosen ones, his children, those who believe in God and have received Christ, we are called to put on kindness, humility, meekness, patience. This term, put on, this verb, put on, it is a command. It is an order, what's called an imperative, that we as believers do. It is not a choice that we have, that Paul is saying, if you want to be kind, if you want to be humble and meek and patient, yeah, that's a good thing, but you know, if not, then don't worry about it. Now, this is a command and order that God is giving through the Apostle Paul to you and I. And it's also what's called a middle voice verb. Not only is it a command or an imperative, but it is what's called a middle voice verb. And if you've been with us over when I've been preaching for the last 5-6 years, I've talked about the significance of a middle voice verb as opposed to sometimes a passive voice verb. The significance of a middle voice verb is that this is something that we need to do for ourselves. Okay, this is not something that someone else does for us. Like, for instance, put on, like, I'm assuming you put on your own clothes in the morning. When you get dressed, you put your own clothes on. Someone doesn't come, mom, dad, butler, maid, whoever it is, and get you dressed. I mean, maybe, yes, when we were little kids, babies, infants, toddlers, somebody else dressed us. Or maybe we have a physical handicap that makes it difficult. But for most of us who are able to, we put on our own clothes. In the same way, we are called as believers in Christ to put on, in addition to clothes, physical clothes, spiritual aspects and attributes of kindness, humility, meekness, patience. This is something that you and I, as followers of Christ, must do on our own. No one else can put on these clothes or these aspects of Christ-likeness for us. And also, if you have your Bibles, if you look at the next verse 13 actually provides a little bit more context in which Paul is giving this command. Because verse 13 goes on to say, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. The immediate context of putting on these aspects or attributes of God is that we are in a circumstance, or we find ourselves perhaps in a circumstance where there's been some conflict, some disagreement, some perhaps fighting, arguments with someone else. Someone else has a complaint against us. Somebody else has done something to annoy us, to wrong us, and we are called to express forgiveness. So this idea of putting on kindness is in the context of, you could say, less than ideal circumstances or situation, because nobody likes to be in a situation where there's conflict or there's a complaint or someone has done something to annoy or offend us. And yet that is the context in which we are called to put on kindness. You see, I think it's for most of us, we would agree that it's easy to be kind to someone else. It's easy to be loving. It's easy to be gracious. It's easy to be caring to someone else when circumstances and situations in our life are going well, right? When the sun is shining, when the birds are singing and chirping, you know, when everything is bright and sunny. That's easy to be kind. It's much harder to be kind to someone when life is difficult, when things aren't going our way, when we're encountering difficulties and hardships and maybe even suffering. That is when we need to show kindness, particularly, especially, because it's a reflection of what Christ has done for us. Not just sacrificing himself when things are going well, but when things are difficult, he gives himself as a sacrifice for our sins. While we are not Christ, we are still called to be examples of Christ. And one of the ways we can is by showing kindness to someone, even in circumstances that we may find difficult or hard, challenging. Maybe for you, you're in a circumstance just like that, in which you need to, if you will, put on kindness. This is something that I would argue that by putting on, that implies that this is something that is not naturally part of us, if you will. The assumption is that we're naked. If we don't, just like if you don't put on clothes and you walk outside, you're either naked or you're wearing your bathrobe or your pajamas outside. You need to change. You need to put on appropriate attire. The assumption is that when it comes to kindness, this is not something that is, we already have. Right? It just goes with us wherever we are at. Now we need to put it on kindness. Kindness that we see through God. The kindness of God that he gives to us, we are to reflect to others around us. Who in your life is God calling you, God asking you, God commanding you, if you will, to demonstrate kindness to express kindness to them? Not because you have to, not because you expect them to also give you kindness. I mean, I hope that they would be kind to you, but that's not a requirement for you to show kindness to them. How can you be kind to them? How can you show kindness to them? What particular way, manner? Maybe it's a kind word, you know, word of encouragement. Maybe it's an act. Maybe it's a giving them something, doing something for them. Maybe it's spending time with them, listening to them, encouraging them. Who can you show kindness to? How can you show kindness to? Why are you called to be kind to them? Because God is kind to you. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we again thank you that you are the ultimate example, the epitome of kindness. You show us your kindness through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Something that we do not deserve, we can never earn. And yet, out of the abundance of your kindness, you have sacrificed your Son for our sins. God, I pray that we as your followers, we as your people, would also reflect kindness to those around us, even people who have done things to hurt us, to harm us, to annoy us. God, may we respond with kindness. It's difficult. It's hard. It's challenging. We hope that they will respond with kindness, but we cannot guarantee it. And yet, Lord, I pray that we would still express kindness to them, Lord. Again, because you have given us kindness first and foremost. May you be glorified at the end of the day. May you receive the glory and honor that's due you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and have a blessed day and hope to see you soon. God bless.